Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, Captain Kirk.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Scott.
The charming negress. Oh, forgive me, my dear. I know that in my time some use that term as a description of property.
But why should I object to that term, sir? You see, in our century, we've learned not to fear words.
May I present our communications officer, Lieutenant Uhura?
The foolishness of my century had me apologizing where no offense was given.
We've each learned to be delighted with what we are.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
My, what a charming negress. Are there any more charming negresses anymore? I'm just wondering, folks. Again, this is the Midweek Review, Midweek in Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The caller number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Folks, we only have an hour. You know what the routine is. I have to go to my gym to get it going, get it on. We're going to forego our normal urban alternative psychedelic soul, black rock, Afro-punk intro. We're just going to do the damn thing. So without further ado, Captain, you are needed in engineering this time. Engineering, where the charming negresses are. My, what a charming negress. What a charming negress. Is this such a thing? Anyway. I'm just joking, folks. Just jokes. Don't send me the emails. Captain, you have a diatribe. Let's get to it.
Well, shazam. Or should I say kaboom. Games from Activision, for those of you who are old enough to remember the game. But anyway, shouting out Q-Storm real quick. That last S.H.I.E.L.D. episode sucked. That's just my opinion. Three episodes in. That's a whole nother story. This weekend we have Comic-Con. Actually, it starts tomorrow. It actually starts tomorrow, and if you're not there, I guess it sucks to be you, doesn't it? Too bad. I live in New York. Anyway, now, let me get into this now. A lot of black people, and also the liberals, also the white liberals, will say that black people have the right. Now, listen to my terminology. Not all black people will say this, but a lot of black people will say this. And all the liberals, you know, the white liberals, they kissy-kissy, huggy-huggy, kiss you up, you know. You like when the white liberals like you. I'm going to deal with them in a minute. But anyway, they will say that due to the advent of slavery, the black man has the right to be running around a bit crazy. Because they were the only ones that were slaves. Now, you have the victimization culture that will say, yeah, right on, pump their fists. Then you have the other type of black people that will say, yeah, we were slaves, but we have to push through it and just have to do what's necessary to go forward. Now, let's go back into the statistical analysis, my friends. This is why statistics can be dangerous on both sides of the equation. Now listen up. Asian community, 10% of out of wedlock birth rate. White community, 23% out of wedlock birth rate. Non-white Hispanic, 43 to 46%. And now we get to the black people, 73%. We also know the higher the out of wedlock birth rate, the more violent crime in that group of people. We also know the tendency, according to statistical analysis, the less educated the group will be, the higher the out of wedlock birth rate. If you think I'm lying to you, you go down to any prison and you see the modus operandi in the prison. When you start interviewing individuals, if you will notice that they do not have a father most of the time, not all the time, most of the time, not all the time, and they do not have baseline levels of education, which is a high school diploma. It's better to have a doctorate than it is a high school diploma. You know that, okay? Definitely. But there's something called baseline levels of education, which is high school diploma. So we can theoretically postulate that within this society, the Asian American, I'm not talking about the Asian that's coming, that's living in China or Korea or wherever over there. They might be feral. They might be wild. We don't know what they're doing over there. Talking about the Asian that lives here. According to statistical analysis, one can theoretically postulate they are the most civilized group here because they're the most educated, the least amount of violent crime. We know that family values push society, drive society. Now, what led black people down this path? Without the black male in the home, where the liberals would say, ah, it's all right that you're crazy because, you know, you are slaves. Not all of you, not all of us, not all of us, but some of us. What led us down this path? Was it slavery? It sounds really good. Like a good steak and lobster meal at a five-star restaurant. It sounds and it tastes really good. It sounds like a Marvin Gaye record. It sounds like Prince 1999, you know? But let's really look at it now. Coming out of slavery, 1865, black people, we get to the point where 1880, 85%, a whopping 85% of the black males were in the home. You know what that means? Black men were loving this black woman. Kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy, baby, I love you. 85%. Then we get to about 1901, it went down to about 80%. And then it stayed that way to about 73, 74, 75. Keep in mind, these are people that survived Jim Crow, that survived lynchings, that survived the pig laws. Same people. The difference was, channeling Patrice O'Neill, the comedian, you knew who the enemy was. You knew who the enemy was. You knew who the suppressor or oppressor. Now, every now and then, maybe you had to tighten up some black man. You might have put some black man in the dirt as another black man. Things do happen. But we weren't worried about Bloods and Crips, stray bullets killing each other. Now, if we were really that messed up from slavery, why were there so many black men in the household? This is why I tell you, black people are an extremely resilient people. We are extremely resilient. What happened? What happened? We had the Negro Leagues. We had black business. Because when the hoses are turned on you, when white people do not want to mess with you, you get the point. You realize you have to flip all the money amongst yourself. Now, some of you may say that, well, we didn't have the Oprahs, we didn't have the Puffies, we didn't have, you know, billionaires, you know, we didn't have all of these prominent individuals that do so well. Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. But we also didn't have us killing each other with stray bullets left and right. We didn't have that going on. The black man was in the home. The black man was in the home. The black man was in the home. Now, what led us down this path, really? What really led us down the path? Now, let's go back to 73, 74, 75. During that time, we had, of course, the feminist movement coming out of the 60s, pushing very strong. And we also had the white liberal programs. Now, let me explain to you some of these liberal programs, where the female could not get the welfare, get the other programs going on, if the black man, or any man for that matter, was in the household. So you have these two things driving. Because at this time frame, it goes down from 80 to 65%. How did that happen? How did that happen? We have the white liberal programs. White liberal programs. Black people never say anything about liberals. You know why you never say anything about liberals? Because the biggest disease, not the biggest, but let me change that. It's an undercurrent disease that black people have. You want white people to love you, and the liberal loves you. Kissy, kissy, huggy, 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 kissy, kissy. Right? That's so it seems. But he doesn't love you. He or she doesn't love you. She or he feels sorry for you because you don't got it together. So they're like, oh, poor baby, baby, you're black. It's all right. It's not a problem. Do you understand? Do you understand this is not a problem? All right, I'm with you. I got you. I'm white. I know you want me to love you. That's how the liberal goes. So you never diss the liberal. You'll never diss the liberal with these liberal programs that sent you down this path. You're angry with the wrong kind of white people. You need to be angry with the liberal, not the slave master. Because based on the statistical analysis, it wasn't the slave master. You were starting to come along till you get to that point. Once you pull the black male out of the household, this is when the craziness starts. Now, some people will also go ahead and say, what are you talking about, Captain? It was crack. No, it was not crack. Crack was a catalyst to the start of this situation. In order to have a catalyst, you have to already have a reaction going. A catalyst speeds up the process. So you inject the crack epidemic into the black community. You speed up the process. Some people will even say, well, it was the fecal pop, prosaically known as hip-hop music. No, it was not. That just sped up the process, speeding it up to where we have the point of victimization culture here in America far as black people. What happened was, once the black male was pulled out of the household, this is what led to your craziness. Not all of us are crazy, by the way. This is what led to the craziness. This started 73, 74, 75. White liberal programs, these white liberals you never diss at all. You think, oh, they're cool. Oh, they want to be down. No, they feel sorry for you. Stop looking for people to love you. Look to be respected. And when you have your act together, you will not have that problem anymore. You will not be looking to be loved by these outside sources, because you will love yourself because you got your act together. And this is the reality of the situation. So once again, to recap, the reason why we're messed up is because this black male is not in the household. And this started 73, 74, 75. Not crack. Crack was the catalyst. Not fecal pop, prosaically known as hip-hop. No, that sped up the reaction some more. And then by the time you get to the 90s, you remember the 90s music? The music was all, no good brother, F a man, I don't need him. Now, music now acts as a meme. It's mind control. it speeds up the demise some more. And then you take these children, and according to the CIA and DIA, crack babies have a problem learning. Not according to me. That's according to the CIA and DIA. Crack babies have a problem learning. So by the time you get to 2000, now these crack babies are teenagers. These individuals having problem learning, they're growing up. They're starting to run amok. Where do they go? Coming from single-parent households, crack babies, they join these gangs. So you see how everything works synergistically. We have the timeline coming from where? The white liberal programs. These people that you never diss, that always feel that you, that always feel sorry for you, who you think, oh, they like you. They do not like you, my friends. They feel sorry for you, black man, and that's ultimately what it is at the end of the day. Now, you can go back, deconstruct it, try to deconstruct it. You can look it up. You could check all the facts, but we have all the statistics, open source all over the internet everywhere, and there's plenty of books that you can read up on it. So, and that's the reality of the situation. Now, back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd. Let's go.
Yes, yes, yes. I cannot deconstruct what you have said, Captain, obviously. Something that we can come out, something that we can definitely agree on also, is that as much as I may have issues with the administration prior to our present administration, it can easily be said that, well, the main thing, the one thing I can think of is that the whole notion of bigotry of low expectations. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
The bigotry of low expectations? All right. Listen, let's go to a quick, and I mean, I do mean quick, a quick groove, because you laid out some heavy handiwork, Captain. And when we get back, some anecdotal stuff, and I'm losing my memory, Bush administration. The Bush administration came up with the whole deal with the bigotry of low expectations. But so let's go to a quick groove, some psychedelic soul. That's another tagline now, another euphemism for black rock. And we'll talk about the anecdote as well as a call I made to SiriusXM, Coco Mode Show, which goes back to what you spoke about earlier, Captain, about still having to access this ethereal superpower that black people have, what they construe to be black, going back to slavery to push that button, when there's some as you said, some data that just does not really line up with that notion. Sure, slavery damaged our minds, unquestionably damaged our minds to this day. But some of the bare bones issues that we're dealing with now, we did not necessarily deal with that 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, when one can make the argument things were far more dangerous for black people. All right, this is shouting out the Oracle and also shouting out your last diatribe. You know, we need 100%, Captain. We need 100%. So I'm going to go to Wilson Pickett, the Wicked Pickett, my father's favorite artist, the Oracle. 99.5 won't do. We need 100%. 99.5 won't do. We'll be right back. Oh, in about 2 minutes. Let's groove.
Child, 99.
Good God, can I testify? Can I testify, ladies and gentlemen? Once again, that was the Wicked Picket, the Oracle's favorite artist. Well, listen, it's timeless. 99.5 won't do. And I play these things because one would say, well, this is out of my demographic. But I know good music, and I was raised on good music. And it really goes to show you how far the mighty have fallen in some respects. Just referencing the great diatribe you just gave our audience, Captain, you know, when you think about this, this was the diet of the day. This was the diet of the day of the black community. Well, what we were listening to on a regular basis, and now when I drive around and I happen to see a young man or woman of color, or not of color, really just cross-racially, what is being played in the cars? Not that. Now, 99.5 Won't Do is really a song about not failing. Failure is unacceptable. Failure is unacceptable. Failure is acceptable in 2013 on Wax. Failure is acceptable in 2013 on Wax. But 45 some odd years ago, it was not. And you wonder why things are the way that they are. And I want to go into my soapbox all the time, folks, but the captain and I are going to have to do this MP3 on repeat. The repeat button is going to be on with us because you have to understand it is pretty clear. It's clear as crystal what has happened. All right. Anyway, folks, the water is warm, believe it or not. Actually, it's above room temperature. It's 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Couple of things off the top of my head. Working out with my friends, shouting out Sally V. I'll be seeing her, I guess, for the next hour. And at the tail end of our workout yesterday, again, folks, this is the afternoon show, so I will go into pop cultural comic book references, even beyond the comic shop. This is the Afro Nerd. Anyway, tail end of the workout, they showed up about 15, 20 minutes late. So I had already ran a little bit, and I was ready to go, and they were going to continue, and they were going to run. Sally V and her cousin, shouting out Yohalisa and Sally V. Anyway, the gym that we go to, Retro Fitness, shouting them out. They need to pay us some money for that. Anyway, Retro Fitness has an area, which is pretty cool, where they have the elliptical machines, they have the treadmills, where it's a theater. It's a sizable theater where they have late movies, semi-current movies. So they had The Dark Knight showing. So it just so happened that I'm ready to leave, and they say, "Hey, wait a minute! Guess what? They're showing The Dark Knight in the treadmill room, in the theater." I said, "You know what? I'll run a game. I'll run 10 minutes a game," which I did. So I'm looking at The Dark Knight once again after a couple of years, and I had to be reminded just how great that movie was, and I became somewhat frustrated. I actually ran faster than I normally run. So looking at a superhero movie will do to you. It gives you superheroics when you're doing it. So I'm running, and after the run, I said, "You know what? Ben Affleck better come with it." Because there were scenes, the fighting scenes were better in the second movie than they were in the third movie. But he was breaking these villains down, breaking them down, breaking bones. I said, "You know what? After looking at it again, it has not lost a step. It's not dated. Heath Ledger was still doing his thing." And I just thought about Batfleck. Batfleck better come with it. That's it. Oh, one other word. I'm just going to say one word. Miley Cyrus. That's it. I'm not going to go into her. I'm not going to give her any due because she does not deserve it. I'm just saying the name Miley Cyrus because if I go any deeper with her story, I'm going to feed it into her vortex.
The vortex that she has created allows people to continuously talk about her on a daily basis. When she is, we're going to fall into her web. I'm not doing that. I will say something else, dovetailing off of her, that perhaps her older sister or her aunt would be Ann Coulter. They're cut from the same cloth. Ann Coulter, again, folks, I'm speaking anecdotally. When anytime there's a book to sell, folks who have low cognitive abilities get hyped up because she said something goofy or something as if it's Tourette's, and it's not Tourette's. It's being shrewd. She said something a few weeks ago. We bypassed it because you can't pinpoint it. She's always spouting off verbal salad, Captain. But she was being interviewed by Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity did some kind of disclaimer because she said some things about the president. She said Putin, I'm paraphrasing, but she said Vladimir Putin is making a monkey out of Barack Obama. He's making a monkey out of the president. And she said it twice, said it once, and then Hannity said, oh, you know, I gotta, you know, these are your words, and I can't always protect you. And she said it again. He's a monkey. So she's real slick. She puts these things out there. She gets pressed because she does it too frequently for it to be accidental. If it's an accident, it's an accident. It's by happenstance. But when you say off-the-wall remarks, you make off-the-wall references in trying to be coy. No, you are a person that's definitely trying to just be a solicitor. She's a provocateur. She's a professional provocateur, as is MC. And that's it. I'm putting it out there for you folks to understand what you're looking at, and don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. That's why I just said Miley Cyrus. That's it. I might say Miley Cyrus once in a while, just the name, and not go into it. But you know what I mean. All right, more anecdotal data, then we're going to go to this call I made this past Sunday. Also referencing what the captain talked about as far as the notables that we have now. You know, if we're going to talk about progress, sure, we have Oprah, we have President Barack Obama, we have his family, his wife, we have a black attorney general, countless congressmen, business people, celebrities, what have you. But even back, going back 30, 40, 50, 100 years ago, we had black notables, black giants of that day. And we forget about that. We did have a MLK, a Dr. Martin Luther King. We had Malcolm X. Going back further, you had Booker T. Washington. You had Ralph Bunche. I'm thinking of Blanche Bruce, who was a senator going back to the late 1800s. So during the Reconstruction period, that period, post-bellum period. So we've had black notables, Adam Clayton Powell, one of my heroes. We've always had people that were going in a onward and upward direction. It's just that now we're seeing black billionaires. Heck, I think there was a statistic that said that I think there's 55 African billionaires. African billionaires. 55 African billionaires. They thought there were less, actually. They miscalculated. There are more black billionaires, industrialists, not just talking about folks that are in politics. Actual industrialists. There's a saying, and I've said it before, you can look it up, Africa may be the new China. I'm just putting it out there. So there are other black folk, not necessarily black Americans, but other black folk that are onward and upward. Anecdotal stuff. Leave Jerry Jones alone. Leave him alone. Jerry Jones, you know him as the president, GM of the Dallas Cowboys. They came out with something about him that actually was, again, Captain, a clear controversy. A controversy, and I'm scratching my head trying to find out why is this even mentioned? I don't want to get into this man's maturity. He's 70 years of age. He's a mature man. I don't do this. He's an old man. I don't do that. Because if someone passes at 70, they ask, what did he pass from? See, in 1960 or 1950, you died at 70, they really wouldn't ask what you died of. It would be of natural causes. Now, a 70-year-old dying at 70 is not necessarily considered to be of natural causes. They're going to want to know, what did you die from? So it's not. But he is a mature man, and they seem to make a big deal about this man having a flip phone, Captain. Really? Has it gotten that bad? I have to do these things to straighten you folks out. Not our listenership, Captain, because our listenership, they know better. Who cares? Who gives an F? I'm censoring myself, folks. I'm running a PG thing here. Who gives a flying F about a man who's worth billions, about what kind of phone he has? So I'm going to play this clip, this quick clip briefly. I just have to mention because I became incensed that the Twitter sphere was incensed and insisted that he gets a smartphone. Why should he follow new technology every 2 months like the rest of the poor broke fools? The broke fools follow technology with getting new Apple products every 3 to 6 months. But you're going to critique a billionaire. Captain, a billionaire already breathes rarefied air. Let me repeat that. A billionaire already breathes rarefied air. He's not breathing the same air you breathe. But you're going to tell him, you need to get a new smartphone. You need to get with it. Come on. Wow. Hold on. Now things are moving sluggishly. This is a conspiracy, Captain. Oh, here we go.
Welcome to The Fumble. I'm Crystal Marie. Jerry Jones owns a team worth $2.3 billion, but he still uses a flip phone. The Dallas Cowboys owner, whose team's net worth is estimated at $2.7 billion, was caught on camera talking on an old-school flip phone during a recent game. Flip-hand phones were popularized by Motorola in mid-1990s, with its Microtech brand launched in the market in 1989, followed by StarTAC in 1996. StarTAC is one of the mobile phones that gained popular consumer acceptance with nearly 80 million units sold. Sure, Jones is 70 years old, but he could certainly afford to pay someone to teach him how to use a smartphone. Maybe he and Andrew Luck could get a group rate. As one might have guessed, the reaction on Twitter to Jones's ancient phone was quite comical. Somebody get Jerry a smartphone, stat. For more sports news, visit us at thefumble.com.
Okay, that was rather abrupt. Yeah, folks, I just don't get it. I'm lost on this one. I'm confused as to why this is made into a story. I mean, I glanced at it thinking that this can't be a big deal. Well, you put in Jerry Jones, flip phone, in Google or YouTube, there's extensive write-ups as to why this billionaire should get with the times and have a new phone. He needs to have a smartphone so he can tweet and Facebook and waste his life away. Come on now. Enough. No one called this out, or very few people called this out for being trivial and a controversy, and how dare you tell someone what they need to do. Matter of fact, heck, Captain, I was thinking about getting me one of those 80s brick phones. Because those brick phones from the 80s are actually worth a lot of money. As a collector's item, I'm going to get one of those things. And I believe there's a way you could actually make it active. You could actually use this brick phone. I was going to get it as a goof. But, you know, the core to coolness, Captain, is not to be a follower. And this, going back to Generation Y, this current generation, they're the most uncool generation I've ever seen. Because I don't see any mavericks in this generation. What made the 60s and the 70s, and even the 80s to a certain degree, but 60s and 70s, or even before that, the 40s, you had mavericks that went out on their own, They purposely went against the grain. If the popular set went one way, they made sure as hell that they went the other direction. And I don't see enough Mavericks to go in the opposite direction, besides yourself and the Afro nerd. I'm playing the black rock and the psychedelic soul and the Afro punk, whereas the common black folk, what passes for current urban radio, they're going to play, you know, Pusha T or Waka Flocka or any one of these minstrels. I'm the anti-minstrel. So I consider myself cool. I'm just putting it out there. All right. This may be – I don't know if our friend Sergio is aware of this, but there's a film that's being made in Brooklyn, and it has some pretty interesting implications. First of all, it's being made as through a one-person kind of perspective. They're using Google Glasses, so it's a lot of things that are tacitly connected to this film. It's a film out of Brooklyn detailing, a documentary-style film, detailing the relationship between Orthodox Jews and the African Caribbean or Black Caribbean community in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Now, historically, these two groups have had frictions dating back to when David Dinkins was the mayor of New York. And you had riots. I'm not going to go deeply into it. Sharpton was there as well. This is going back to 90, 91, 92. Anyway, in an effort to try to get these groups back together, this filmmaker, I think it's a set of four filmmakers, are getting together to make this documentary, and they're going to use Google Glasses to do it. So I thought it was fairly interesting. These are some 20-somethings, four 20-somethings that are using these Google Glasses. It's called Project 2x1. Project 2x1. And I thought that, you know, this is just an interesting thing to do. It's very much today. And of course, they're going to black barbershops, and they're going to Hasidic businesses, and they're just showing that. And these filmmakers, of course, are black and Jewish. And I just think it's a fascinating thing to do. And unfortunately, I don't think there's enough of a highlight about what they're trying to do and the fact that they are using new technology. I mean, heck, they're using Google Glasses to make a film. So I just wanted to shout them out. Project 2x1 out of Crown Heights, Brooklyn. So good luck to them. All right, Captain. Let's see. I see Sergio says, what good are those Google Glasses? I hear you can't download. Okay, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I hear you, I hear you, Serge. I'm not going there with you.
Okay. Shauna Ray. Coco Mode.
Yes. All right. Folks, I called up Shauna Renee's show. Shauna Renee, as I said before, she is the daughter of radio legend. Why am I forgetting his name? Joe Madison. I must get some ginseng. Joe Madison. And I don't really want to talk disparaging of a program. The program falls into typical victimization, urban radio fare. It's not really breaking new ground, which is what I would like to see black radio do. Break new ground, discuss subject matter. I wish I had enough time to isolate what I heard this morning on the Steve Harvey show. And I'm always critiquing that show, but shouting out Q Storm, God bless you, and all the folks that seem to like Mr. Harvey. I heard a dialogue with his crew that sounded an equivalent, Captain, to a old time. Seriously, I have to isolate both these clips. It didn't sound that much different than an old time Amos and Andy radio clip. It 2013 people. They sounded as if they missed the email telling them that slavery was over. And I said, I can't listen to this. We're not getting information, is not being disseminated. Look what we're telling you here. Look, in a matter of 40-some-odd minutes, look what the information we've given you, a litany of information. So that's what the urban landscape looks like. And I mention this all the time. I've got to put you on notice as to what's happening around you, that no one's suspecting you as far as the media are concerned. And not, again, not to land-based Ms. Renee's show, but I'm going to play this clip. Actually, it's two clips. And I called up because they were discussing the tragedy that occurred last week, last Thursday, with young Miriam Carey, the mother that allegedly had an episode, a postpartum depression episode, and was killed by D.C. police. So I gave my opinion. You've heard it before. Toward the tail end, I went into a rant that you heard before. And they had a clinician. They had several women. You're going into a hen's nest, Captain, as a male sometimes. You go in there, and I had to be careful. Because you know how I get. I go full body many times. And I had to use my cognitive abilities and say, you know what? This is a hen's nest. Let me fall back. But I gave a flash of my opinion. Didn't go well. Then another gentleman, another caller comes in, a few calls after me, referenced me, said something quite cogent, Captain. And what they tell this young man is disturbing. And it references what you talked about as far as victimization. It makes no goddamn sense and goes against logic completely. And when I go into this, and when we play these clips, and you can call in, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a few minutes remaining, we have to be prepared to deconstruct arguments. If I say something, if the captain says something, if anyone says something, you have a right to your opinion, but be prepared to have it deconstructed. If it cannot be deconstructed, then it is what it is. All right. This is Afro Nerd on Coco Mode. Hold on. If it engages, eventually.
To the phone, because I have a couple of people who have been holding on very patiently for a while. Afro Nerd out of New York, welcome.
Yes, good morning, Shauna.
Hey.
A couple of things. First of all, this is an amazing, incredible tragedy to see this thing and to see it live. Nowadays, you can see these things as they're happening. My main concern is, what is the black community going to do as far as dealing with what appears to be us being positioned as the face of mental illness? That is becoming problematic for me. We're seeing the young man a few weeks ago. He went into the D.C. Naval Yard. Another black male set himself on fire at the nation's capital.
Yeah, that happened on Friday, yeah.
So, you know, if we're not careful, we're starting to see high-profile cases of men and women of color who appear to be under mental duress or have mental issues, and the community does not appear to have fail-safe to deal with these issues. After it happens, when the person is dead or someone gets killed, then someone throws down a book on the table and says, okay, here's the history of this person having mental issues. Why aren't we addressing these issues before it gets to the...
Because there's a stigma. You know why. Because there's a stigma and a shame associated with any mental health issue in our community. When I have said many times before that we are perhaps the craziest people in this country, as we should be, considering all that we have carried throughout generations and in generations. I remember Yanla Van Zandt said this one day, you know, the rape of our ancestors, our mothers, and I'm speaking as black women here, is carried in our DNA. You cannot expect some woman to have come out of a line of women who have been abused and taken advantage of for generations after generations to all of a sudden have her act together and not have any issues. But if you come out and say, you know, I need therapy. I went to therapy. Everybody's like,
someone will be like, I'll pray for you.
Right.
Just go to church.
I think the caller makes a very interesting point in that you know, 10 years ago on the news, somebody shoots something up or does something wrong, and you hear, oh, he was so quiet, he was so nice. Now we're hearing, this person had problems, and we knew this person had problems.
Right, right.
So, one other point I'd like to make briefly is also, I'm kind of getting perturbed by the fact that we're not seeing the men in these issues come up. These seem to be immaculate births. I hate to put it that way.
Yeah, no one's mentioned who her husband or if she's married or the boyfriend or anything as of yet.
This is becoming a theme. We're not seeing the men, and also as a man, what's going on with men having relations with women who have and vice versa, having these mental issues? Not just not talking about postpartum, but this woman had a litany of mental issues, and yet she is worthy enough to have a child with.
There's no reason that someone with a mental health issue should be denied
a relationship
opportunity to have a child.
No, having a child with a person like that. I mean, once the child is here, then you have to be concerned with the child's safety. So what I'm saying is, what rational person would have relations with a woman who had potentially schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and now we're seeing? I mean, it's pick a card now.
I think that only contributes to the stigma. People with mental illnesses deserve to live their lives to the fullest, just like anyone else. They might require an extra measure of support, but you don't sterilize someone because they have a mental illness. You don't tell someone they can't have children or that they're unworthy of having children because they have a mental illness. That's not what this is about.
Okay. Thank you so much for clearing that.
All right. Now, folks, here's the second clip with the caller that called in after me.
Interesting. go ahead.
Well, okay, here we go. Here we go once again. Now, this is part two. Not me, not the Afro-nerd, another young man calling in. I would perceive to be highly cognitive, a thinking man of color, and it doesn't go over that well. You know what I said at the beginning, folks, to the captain, jokingly? My, what a charming negress. Are there any charming negresses anymore? Are there? Based on this conversation? But I digress. Part two. Hold on. Let's go. Let's get to it. Eventually. Why is it sluggish all of a sudden, Captain? This is a conspiracy.
Real quick. Thank you, though. Before we end, Aaron, I got about a minute and a half from Georgia.
Hi. How you doing this morning?
Good.
I just wanted to comment earlier, the caller before this last one was discussing mental illness and the fact that she probably shouldn't have had a child. And one of your guests was saying that, you know, that's no reason for them not to live a full quality life. And I believe that's somewhere our society is a little bit stigmatized and wrong on, in the fact that there are people who should not be allowed to have kids. You know, if you're a drug addict and you already have two children and those two children haven't been enough in your life to make you be able to stop, then that addiction is way too strong. These people shouldn't be allowed to have more kids. If you're schizophrenic and you have a difficult time of taking care of yourself, then why should we sit here and say that, oh, it's perfectly okay because biologically she's capable of having kids?
Okay. Well, real quick. Go ahead. But who's going to make those rules? Like, who's going to be like the, you can't have kids, you know, who's going to make those rules?
Right, well, who makes that determination?
I don't think there needs to be rules or legislation, but socially,
if you're a man and you don't have a job and you can't take care of your kids, you don't deserve to be a father. I mean,
exactly right.
No.
Just because you are capable of having a kid doesn't mean you're capable of raising a child. And socially, we sit here and say that it's okay.
And
that puts it out that it's okay. No, there shouldn't be a tribunal that.
Well, how else are you going to? Okay, you know what? I can't do this because I got 30 seconds. Maybe we'll pick this up on the other side. I got to go. Dr. Carla Rhodes, thank you so much. Reggie, can you get her information so that.
All right. Can I say one thing, Sir Affleck?
Sure.
Can I say one
thing? Sure.
When the caller hemmed her up, and when she tried to come back emotionally, that's what she did. She went with, we're a bunch of women here. You're a man. Now I'm going to fix you. Emotional. Not really fact-based, but just emotional. You understand? She hit him back emotionally, because that's what women do. Well, if you're a man and you don't have a job and you can't take care of yourself, you shouldn't have any kids. And then he laced her, because that was the response. You're absolutely right. Then you saw what she had to do. She crumbled. No, 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 no. Because he was saying, you're absolutely right. My program is not up to par. I do not have the right to have kids because I do not have a job. My act is not together. Look how she started to respond. Look how she, it's an emotional response. It's not fact versus fact. It's you can't deconstruct the emotion. Once you start coming with the emotional response, as you actually said earlier, when you said you're dealing with these women, you're walking into the woman's nest, you will not win any arguments whatsoever. You can't deal with that. That's all I wanted to outline. Go ahead, Sir Afro Nerd.
Now, I mentioned this to you behind the scenes, Captain, that I do my fair share of listening to different podcasts, and I listen to the Adam Carolla show quite a bit. He's a comedian, but he also has kind of he certainly has a conservative bent, more of a straight kind of thing. And he does ask certain questions of minority communities that as a white male you're discouraged in asking. You're discouraged in asking. And I've gone over this before. But one thing that I do like about his show, which was similar to Shauna Renee's show in a sense, Shauna Renee had a clinician, she had a medical doctor there who was riding with her with this foolishness, and Dr. Drew is Adam Carolla's right-hand man, and when someone calls up with some story of dysfunctionalism, they do not coddle that person, male or female. They deconstruct them, and then they rebuild them. They deconstruct. They will tell the person forthrightly, listen, it appears somewhere in your past, your father wasn't there, you've got abandonment issues, you're doing drugs, you need a certain kind of – they do not sit there, and they might even tell you, you really were not prepared to have children, but the child is here now. Or if they're considering having children, do you have your job laid out? Do you have your future laid out? Do you have your insurance laid out? Do you have a home? Do you have – you know, they start – they do not coddle. These women were coddling the black community by saying that, well, you can't tell someone who has no job prospects – a male that he can't be a father, he would be a lousy father. Yes, you can. And then to say that, well, you know, they try to conflate a person that has mental issues, conflate that person having a relationship with having. I'm very close to what I heard, Captain. Listening very closely, they said, well, you can't tell them they can't have a relationship. I didn't say that. Having a relationship, having a friendship is different than having a child. You can't conflate the two. But they were conflating having a life, having a friendship, having a relationship with child rearing. And it sounds just on the surface, people. And this woman has a serious gig. Captain, goddammit, where is our gig on serious? We would want smoke around these people. They will be, I will tell you, with the right production staff, the Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk show would blow people's minds. But they consistently go for this type of black methodology. It's got to stop. And I want people, I played this clip for you to understand, this is what you get. This is the typical black response. No, no, no. And what was said, Captain, cannot be deconstructed. What you said was, it's perfectly okay for a person to have children and be schizo. Really? 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 No, no. You heard it for yourselves, folks. Pass the word around. Help us become more out there, so to speak. We're speaking a little bit differently. This is what you get as far as common radio. Common radio telling you this foolishness. It's foolishness. Can you imagine, Captain, if you had dated Ms. Carrie? and she has your child in the back seat while bullets are flying?
Well,
come on. I mean, it's just, you know, the child's in danger because this man had relations with a crazy woman. But you can't say it. We're so politically correct, Captain. We're so politically correct that you cannot call it like it is. And I defy someone to deconstruct what I'm talking about. This woman said it's okay for these mentally challenged folks, not even mentally challenged. Well, matter of fact, let's use the term mentally challenged. Can a person who's mentally challenged, isn't there controversies around people with mental, clear, not even talking about psychosis, but mentally challenged people. There's been issues about them having children. Should mentally challenged people have children too? Many of these people can't even keep teeth in their heads. Mentally challenged people, and I'm saying that to be I'm not saying that to be disparaging. But a mentally challenged person has difficulty in taking care of themselves and keeping teeth in their head. And yet, under this foolishness, these women would tell you, "Oh, that's okay. They got to have their own lives. They got to have relationships. That's all right. Can't tell them no." Oh, come on. Going to hell in a handbasket quickly. Folks, I don't think we're going to have a show this weekend because, simply put, the F-Word is visiting Comic-Con. Shouting out David Walker from Dark Horse Comics. He's going to be at his booth in the Jacob Javits Center at 10 a.m. So I have to shout him out. Dave Walker, friend of the show. He's been on our show countless times. Check him out. Sign his books. Number 13 was his comic book. That's also, I believe, been optioned for a movie. So, again, check him out, David Walker, if you just so happen to check out this weekend's New York Comic Con. Captain, I have to sweat it out in the gymnasium. Maybe there'll be another movie for me to run to. Folks, it's always a pleasure. Let's go out in more groove. All I know is groove. I don't know anything else. All right, this is Deep Purple. Not the Prince, but Deep Purple, Into the Fire, classic rock. See you following Wednesday. When this engages. Here we go again, Captain. It never fails. Just controversial. We're talking too deep. And the government's after us, I think. Okay. See you Wednesday, folks.
Distract the stranger too. Will my motherfucker.